you know, I know a guy who's got 19 years and Greg's got 21. You know, there's people around that have some time in Narcotics Anonymous. That's the best that I can answer your question. Anybody else?
Hi, everyone. I'm an addict named Franco. I'm real glad that they didn't take the 12 suggestions that Betty had put out. There's far too many shoulds. I couldn't follow a program like that. I think this is a good meeting to share a piece of information. There's a piece of literature that comes out of World Service that's called the NA Way. And last month, it's also called the Meeting in Print, and my experience is that it is a meeting in print. And last month, they had written an article from the World Service talking about the condition of the magazine and that was in jeopardy, both in terms of subscriptions and in terms of articles being submitted. Last month, they had to use every article submitted because they had just enough to put the magazine together. They are looking for networkers. I responded to them, and it's another way to do service. That's how I say it. They will send you a package, order forms, and that kind of a thing to kind of plug the magazine so that it's not something else that falls by the wayside like maybe some other failed projects did. It's only $10 a year, and it comes out every month, and it's just addicts sharing their experience, strength, and hope from all around the world in print. And in the back, it has all of the conventions that are going on throughout the U.S. and I guess throughout the world. That's how I found out about this convention, was in the back of the NA Way. I'm sorry I didn't bring any of the little subscription cards with me, but if you're interested, I'm sure there are some around, and if not, you can write to the World Service, WSO in Van Nuys, California, and I'm sure they'll call them, and they'd be glad to give you information. Thank you.
My name's Anita, I'm an addict. I think I got two questions. Maybe I missed something, but you were saying something about how the West Coast and this guy Greg came over from the East Coast or something and got that little white book, right? Somebody came over and got the little white book and started the meeting. Then they started having a convention on the West Coast. When did you know, or maybe you don't, when did you find out, or did the West Coast hear about other areas? Like, how did that regional thing start evaluating when they came up, before they came up with the NA3? Like, did somebody say, oh, something's over in California, you know, let's get over there or something? And that's how they started evaluating the world, region, those type of levels? Okay, and then the other question I have is about a convention. I was trying to go to the BID meeting and learn more about conventions. I had worked on conventions and was a part of working on an East Coast convention. And based on, like, what happens if nobody takes the BID for this convention? Like, if nobody gets the BID, does the East Coast fold? That's really all I have.
Here you go.
Oh, okay.
Well, fortunately, that's never happened with the East Coast Convention. There's always been a bid or two or three or five, and there's always been a convention ongoing. I have no idea what would happen if a bid wasn't accepted or taken, so I can't really answer that. Like I said, fortunately, it's been going on for 13 years, and someone's always wanted it. I heard there's a rumor that Pittsburgh's going for it this year. So the other question was, Narcotics Anonymous has started out on the West Coast, and that guy, Roy Peake, got the white book, and he came back here with the white book, and meetings had started here. And what happened was, I guess he passed a message on that it was out on the West Coast, but people here wrote to the West Coast, and they didn't respond right away. A year or so went by. And then finally they responded saying, we wrote several times, and they said that we don't have, there's a shortage in money, and we don't have no literature. And that's when we bootlegged our own literature. And after that, in 76 is when the structure, Narcotics Anonymous structure, and that's when things started happening, and people started communicating over the phone, traveling back and forth, and things like that. I'm not sure when the first World Service Conference was. I think it was like in the late 70s, though, because the first World Lit Conference was in 79. I think it was like 76 or 77. So that's how they were. Communication is basically how, you know, the gift of listening. You know, that's what we're here for. That's our theme. Game. Good.
I'm an addict. My name's James.
Well,
thank God for waking up and being alive, being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, me and Dad, we've been sitting on convention committees for a while, you know, and I love them. You know, I was reflecting back, man, when you look up here and you see all this, that a member of Narcotics Anonymous takes a lot of time and energy just to put a collection together to share with the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, man. That's that vigilance. And that's what I look, every time I see Danny, I look at the vigilance that he shows, you know, by showing up and wanting to do, like, you know, in the basic text, like, what can I do? There's so much that we can do in the fellowship of Narcotics. It's proven right here. You know what I mean? Just that vigilance, man, you see that as things need to be done. It's still things need to be done now that we can still be a part. We're part of history right now. We part of the history of Narcotics Anonymous right now. I was reflecting back, and I was looking back on, and he was talking about the conventions, and he was talking about the meetings being started, and I was reflecting back how, thank God for the other fellowship. And somebody's up there talking about, well, how was this going to get started? A lot of people in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, they came up in that other well-known fellowship, you know, and they took some directions from that well-known fellowship about how to start different things, how to start a regional committee, was taking direction, but we're still learning how to stand on our own. You know what I mean? We're still learning. We was breaking traditions about 4 years ago. We used to pass around a book and sign your name at every meeting. We didn't know we was breaking traditions then, and the book went around and everybody signed their name. We just realized that 4 years ago, not to sign the book, to sign your name, about the anonymity. So we still growing in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was reflecting back how, like, he was talking about members holding on. And I remember, like, if you missed a 7 o'clock meeting on a Monday, that was it. No more meeting. You know, like, it was one meeting a day, you know, and it was at night. It wasn't no day meetings, wasn't no noon meetings, wasn't no evening meetings. It was just one meeting. And if you had to go anywhere else, you had to travel many, many miles to get to a meeting. You know what I mean? And I remember, like, I surrendered in January 11th of 84, and I'm still, you know, new. But to some people, it's like, you are old timer at 8 years in Narcotics Anonymous. So you see how much more I need to learn in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, because as far as time and people getting clean, I'm still a baby. You know, especially to a lot of people and other fellows, I'm still a baby, you know, as far as staying clean. You know, I remember us holding on, man. You talk about NA growing and how it looked. I'm talking about 10, 12 members to a meeting in 84. You know, and right now today in 92, you're talking about hundreds in the same meeting. And that's just from 84 to 92. It was 12 members. I remember it was on a Monday we used to go to a meeting in North Philadelphia, Hanging Tough, small meeting. And we held on. You're talking about hanging out and practicing 3 parts to a meeting. We all had to hold on. We didn't have too many steps in our lives or traditions in our lives. It was just staying clean. Just to show, it wasn't no step meetings or tradition meetings when we came up in 84. It was just speaker discussion and beginners meetings. in 84 and 85. And just to show you how it's grown now, you know, people was holding on, and we was reading, and wasn't no basic text. There wasn't no group book. We had a white book in 84. It wasn't no basic text then, and we was just reading out of that, and we didn't know what we was both trying to understand what was going on in the book. Nobody knew, but we was just exchanging words with one another. You know what I mean? Trying to see how this thing worked, because we just wasn't sure. But all we had to do was hold on and have some faith, man. So we was going to other fellowships trying to get some knowledge of what the 12 and 12 was all about. And we go there, then we come back to an NA meeting. And when we came around, we were just making meetings all over. And it wasn't no such thing as one fellowship. We was making meetings in all kind of fellowship just to stay clean. You know, we would all get two or three large cups of coffee. And you're talking about holding on. We would all get two or three large cups, go to McDonald's, and we get about 12 or 14 cups when we all pour some coffee in the cup. Because we came in penniless, broke. We came in bankrupt. You know what I mean? I mean, Adam came in then really rich. You know what I mean? We didn't come in with gold and stuff back in 84. It wasn't nobody coming in with gold or still had something. A lot of times we came in broke, and we needed a lot of help. And staying clean had to come first for us. And it wasn't no language as far as social acceptability. We didn't know what that was. You know, we wasn't getting caught up in no social acceptability. It was, we didn't have no job, and we didn't know how to get any skills. You know what I mean? And we was learning, and we was growing up. But I'm just talking about the holding on factor of what took place, man, just a few years ago. It was just addicts holding on to one another, trying to get a day clean. And we just went from meetings to meetings in groups. It wasn't, we didn't have time to get caught up in personality. With 12 or 15 people trying to stay clean, you ain't had time to look about who looked like this and who wore this, or I don't want to hug this person. It wasn't none of that. It wasn't none of that. We had to hold on to one because that was all we had. You know, and it's just not like that today. It's like sometimes people want to pick and choose who they want to hug, you know, who they want to hang with. When we came around, you had no choice. If you wanted to live and you wanted to get a day clean, we all hung on to one another. And it didn't matter where you came from, who your connections were, or what you've done in the past. You know, it didn't matter of age, race, sexual identity, creed, or lack. It wasn't none of that. I need to share with y'all that, you know, I tried to get clean in Conshohocken, you know, and I used to stay in this house where everybody who stayed clean in the straight house, they called. And the name of the house was called The Edge, because everybody was on the edge. And I made meetings in Flower Town, and to show you how I want to stay clean and try to stay clean, red truck people would pick me up. I would thumb rods. Tractor trailer people would pick me up and drive me to Flower Town. This thing works, man, and it's like it was miles to the meeting. You know, I lived in Conshohocken, and I went to meetings in Flower Town. I went to meetings in some other counties, Montgomery County, some other counties out there. And people picked me up, and they didn't know me from a can of paint. And they was different nationalities, and they took me to meetings. You know, that's how I know when our literature talks about, man, age, race, sex. I experienced that when I was trying to get clean in this fellowship, man, that people didn't even know me, and they carried me to meetings. You know, right now today, it's like I'm so grateful to be a member of this fellowship because I've watched history, you know, right in front of my eyes, man, me being a part of it. And I didn't know that this fellowship was going to grow like it grew. You know, we had no idea that meetings that had 12 and 15 people was going to grow to hundreds, man. I have a meeting list in my car, and it was just an 86 meeting list. And you could count, you know, meetings there. It was like it was something like 70 or 80 meetings all around then, and that was in 86. 70 or 80 in the regional thing, and now we're talking about 400 and something he just shared, you know, in 92. You know what I mean? And it just shows how rapidly it grew from 86 to 92, man. Just shows you how fast it's growing. Man, I love Danny, man. It's like, I know it's a need for people like Danny to stick and stay in this fellowship, man, because dreams do come true in this fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Manatic, my name's Kurt.
Okay.
And I have a couple questions for you, Danny. One of the questions is about the second edition. You said that there's very few second editions. Was there two printings of the second edition, or was there only one printing of the second edition? Was that a blue-covered book? That's one of the questions. The second question is the traditions, they changed some of the wording, in particular about the service structure and the governing of the service structure, the world service. And who changed that? How did that change from, it used to say something to the effect that the world service is not part of NA, and that seems to have been deleted. I wondered how that happened. I know that that's old controversy, but I never heard it really explained to me. And the third thing that I really, or fourth, whatever it is, that I really want to know is, like, about the morale of the East Coast Convention. I mean, I know for me, my first East Coast Convention was this one. I pull a shirt out for East Coast Conventions. It was in 83, and that was 800 people. And every year after that, it seemed like the morale, the ball was rolling unbelievably. And coming here yesterday, I couldn't believe that I had a hard time finding the convention. I drove around on the streets, and I didn't see any sign saying East Coast Convention this way. When I came here, I had to ask somebody on the street, you know, where is the East Coast Convention? He pointed me over, and it blew me away that, I mean, I just walked up to the registration, you know, desk and just gave my money, whereas years before I waited in these long, long lines to get up to the registration desk. And another thing that bothers me or worries me is that I see a lot of people walking around without their buttons on. It seems to be just a lack of morale of what's going on here today. And I guess that'll be part of our history and something that we grow from. Perhaps people in here have an idea, but I certainly don't know what's going on and would like some clarity on that. I'm also, you know, from 10 years of being around clean, you know, I feel badly because I've sort of fallen out. I go to at least 5 or 6 meetings a week, but I'm not involved anymore like I used to be, involved in the heartbeat of NA. It's almost like I stepped back and I said, well, this is being taken on by new blood. It was people like you that were coming in with all the, you know, vigor, and they seem to be very confident in taking over. And now I see this, and almost, it really makes me sad. So maybe you have some idea.
What I meant when I was talking about the first edition basic text. There was two first editions. One was a red one that they sold for $25, and it was a collector's item. The reason why they sold it for $25 was to raise enough funds to make the other printing. And it was the exact same printing, but all they did was they changed the cover from a red to a light blue. So that answers that question. Okay. Second question was, the World Service Conference, or office, incorporated, this is my understanding, they incorporated, and that's, it went from Carina, which back then they tried to call it CARE, and what happened was there was a cosmetic company called CARE, and that's why they couldn't use that name CARE. So what they changed was they called it Carina, and how Carina came about, it was called Caring, Action, Respect, Empathy, and Narcotics Anonymous. And then at the third printing of the basic text, the third edition, is when the WSO took over, and they incorporated. And once they incorporated, they felt that it wasn't a part of Narcotics Anonymous because it was an incorporation. And that's where that stuff came from. The third thing is my understanding about the East Coast, every year the East Coast doubled in size. And it was either the 5th or the 6th East Coast Convention. We had the biggest convention in the world ever. It was bigger than the World Convention. And what's happening now at this convention, you know, I'm here and I'm responsible for myself. That's all that I could say on that. I don't know why it's happening, but I'm here, man. You know what I mean? And if there's one next year, I'll be there too. That's all that I can say for that. Ben?
My name is Dan Aminati.
Grateful
to be here. And I just had the opportunity to serve a small amount on the committee for the first East Coast Convention. And some of the goals and the ideas that came about, well, first of all, I want to tell you I was very, very reluctant even to get involved with it because I never thought it was going to ever take off. And I told the guys, we don't need a convention. But thank God they kept encouraging it. We met, and the idea was to keep them in colleges, keep the cost down, so practically anybody could afford to come. Okay, and if they couldn't afford to come, people made arrangements to help pay their way. In 1980, when we had our first convention, the banquet tickets were $6. And I couldn't afford $6 to come to the banquet. And a friend of mine bought banquet tickets for my wife and I. But what the committees did then was they went around and basically solicited fundraisers to keep the cost down, so the quota, the indigents, I guess that's what we call them, could afford to come. I know my home area, we have a spring banquet every year, and we used to donate $200 to the East Coast Convention to help cover packages so folks could come in. And, you know, at one time this was the convention in the world, basically. Because it was exciting. But I think the reason why it's not as popular or as large anymore is because there's conventions every weekend. You know, at that time, there wasn't conventions every weekend. You know, there was only a few conventions around, so people made a point of it to come to the East Coast. There's a few things that kind of upset me over the years. And, you know, we as addicts always want to top something that somebody else ever did, you know. And I've been to these conventions where committees rented tuxedos and this and that and all kind of crazy things. I think we need to get back again to the basics, back to our primary purpose of carrying the message. You know, this is a time of celebration. And, you know, there's people that are coming here that I'm hearing, you know, that can't afford to buy a registration. We used to have boxes and big signs that said donations for indigent packages. And members would donate money for those who couldn't afford a registration. They wouldn't give them dance tickets or banquet tickets, but they would, you know, help them out with a basic registration. You know, and I think those are the things that we need to get back to. You know, I want to thank Danny for the, you know, presentation of the, of, you know, his input on the history. You know, there's a meeting just north of here, about 3 hours from all my research, okay, is the oldest meeting in the world that started and never stopped, never changed the time, never moved. And that's the Friday night at Divine Providence in Williamsport Hospital at 7 o'clock. That was the first meeting that I ever went to. If you want to see some people with some long-term recovery, come to Williamsport. There's a lot of them. You know, what point I want to make, we were in Pittsburgh last year, and they had a clean time countdown at the banquet, and there was more people there with more than 3 years recovery than there was with less than 3 years recovery. And it was overwhelming. You know, it was overwhelming. And I know that this, in this fellowship program of Narcotics Anonymous works. You know, it's because of people like us. You know, I believe Narcotics Anonymous is coming of age. You know, we are making the history of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I just want to thank Danny for his effort in keeping the records and the archives that he has. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Betsy. I'm an addict. I want to thank you for the history. I want to thank you for sharing my feelings, Kurt. I want to thank you, Denny, for what you said about the back to basics and remembering why we're all here. By the way, my second edition is the first edition with the blue cover and paste-ups over those traditions. They just, like, retyped little pieces and pasted over the printed edition, and that's how we got our second edition. The reprint of the first, different cover and a couple of paste-ups on the tradition. I'm hurting a lot here today because this East Coast is a really wonderful, you know, tradition, a wonderful convention. The feeling I've gotten here is something I've never gotten at a world convention. I've never gotten it at a hotel or regional convention. The kind of fellowship and the really loving atmosphere and the simplicity and the ability to get to know people from other places and find out that my fellowship is bigger, you know, than my little area and my little town. It's something that I've always gotten at the East Coast. And the world is too big. You really can't connect and hook up and get close to people. And I've always been able to do that at East Coast and make lasting friends and fellowship. And the fourth was also my first East Coast convention. And I keep coming back. And it breaks my heart because nobody put in a bid this year to have an East Coast convention next year. And it really breaks my heart, you know, to see that a tradition like this could just go down the tubes because nobody wants to carry the message, you know. And I got to say, really, you know, where is Seth, right? Where is Henry? Where is Bob? Where are all these people I know from the Philadelphia Fellowship over the years? Here they've got the convention right in their city in Philadelphia. And where are they? You know, where are they? Because we need them, and we need to hear that people put on conventions with a wing and a prayer, you know, because no one believes that today. No one believes you can do something without an incorporation and without a lot of business savvy and knowledge and lawyers, and that's not the Narcotics Anonymous that I grew up in, you know, and it really hurts me. It really hurts me to see, you know, that we've become a business and either a profit-making or profit-losing organization, and that this is what we're all tied up in, and the whole purpose of the East Coast. We weren't on the West Coast, so if everything was happening there in Narcotics Anonymous, the East Coast was what we had, and it's where the fellowship got unity and learned from each other. You know, when we did just have our steps on big printed pages from that book, and the text wasn't bound, but the way we shared and networked, and there was so much unity that came from the East Coast. You know, I was talking to this gentleman, Mark, from Connecticut, and talking about Yale. That was beautiful, the East Coast at Yale. But I want to tell you that our fellowship in New York was back and forth working with Connecticut, doing fundraisers. When someone had a convention, everybody helped. It wasn't just, you know, your area had to, or your city or your town had to put on a convention alone. People traveled back and forth, and people threw fundraisers and supported it. And there was, like, so much feeling of belonging and being a part of something greater than oneself. And, you know, it just feels lonely and isolated. And to me, you know, it just really breaks my heart, you know, that there may not be another East Coast convention. And I don't know.
I'm an addict. My name's Jeff. And I just want to thank you for sharing, Dan. And probably the real reason I wanted to just come up was because I know it's a pretty special moment for you, being up here. I know how much it means to you. And basically, I just wanted to thank you for getting me on my way to Right Way and for helping me start my collection, The Right Way. And just for the knowledge that I got through the year that we got real close, and the things that I know. Now, I don't know enough to say, but I know enough from learning from Danny and being enthusiastic about all this stuff. I'm a collector to some extent, and I just wanted to take the time to come up here and sentimentally thank you for helping me to start my thing.
Anybody else? We got time for one more. Go ahead.
My name is Waleed, and I'm from Maryland. And I'm really touched by all the stuff that I heard tonight, today, especially with the young lady shared. I don't have that much time in Narcotics Anonymous, but when I came around, I got in service, and I did some of the things that she said about Calvin and giving fundraisers for the one that they had for the 11th one in New Jersey, because I'm originally from New Jersey. And I really enjoyed it, and like he said about how they go get too extravagant, because at that one, did a lot of fundraising, and they didn't have enough money at the end to pay all the bills, because they had carts to drive around the university in, and a lot of things, and everybody were in tuxedos, you know. And I think that some of the things could have been done without, you know, and the bill wouldn't have been so high. And the last one was held in Maryland, and I was a part of that one, and the same thing happened. They didn't rent buses to take people around the university or go-karts, but somehow, you know, like New Jersey didn't have nothing to pass on, and I'm sure the same thing happened for this one, that we didn't have anything to pass on, because it should have been some seed money, you know what I mean, because you should have been able to make some type of profit from the last one and pass over. And I think somewhere along the line is that somebody didn't pass the money along, and people would start from scratch, and it's kind of hard to start from zero sometimes. And but anyway, you know, the young lady had asked that question about what happens if nobody takes the bid, and she's not here to get that answer that nobody didn't take it. I don't know. I guess we'll go back to our respective regions and areas and let them know that, and maybe somebody will come forth. You know, I don't know. But I'm sure that we're not going to just let it die. I'm sure somebody will come up with something. You know, I just wanted to invite and let y'all know about that. It is a Unity Day. East River Area Narcotics Anonymous Special Events Committee presents Unity Day Birthday Bash Part 4, celebrating NA's 39th birthday. And this is going to be in Maryland. It's going to be a basketball tournament. And I also wanted to invite Dave, is it? Danny, down and pray to give a presentation about NA's history. Also, there's going to be all kind of marathon meetings, and we'll have a step in tradition workshop the whole day. So there's going to be flyers around, hopefully, and maybe y'all would like to come out and help us celebrate NA's 39th birthday. Thank you.